wonderful. Everybody will leave and say, "You're not gonna. Did your preacher preach a good Mother's Day sermon?" Yeah, he told us how to deal with sin and temptation. What? Well, let me tell you from this standpoint, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you how to get the stuff out of your life so that the love can flow. That we go from that way, okay? Donna. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. James 1, verse 12. I'm gonna read this again. I know Joanne read it, but I'm gonna read this again so we can kind of dive off into this. Verse 12. Blessed is the one who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised those who love him. Now, some of your versions might say it a little different. It might say, once they have passed the test, or once they have overcome, or once they have shown they endure. And I want to take just a little bit today to kind of lay a foundation for what I want to say. I don't want to spend a lot of time here today, but I do want to cover a couple things. All right? You ready? All right. There's a particular Greek word that is used here. First of all, James is, we remind ourselves, James is writing to the church that has been dispersed out of Acts chapter 8, verse 1 in the persecution. They're living in areas which are not as conducive to their faith as living in Jerusalem. So they're dealing with some things and some differences and some issues, some trials, some temptations, and some things that is, and I'm using this word because this is what the word means, that has been proofing their faith. Not just proving, but proofing. So that as they go through this, God does a work that will undergird and proof and show them what their faith is. If there's any weak points, if there's any things, they can work on that and they can deal with that and they can grow from that. So that's what James wants them to do. He wants them to grow as they go through these difficult times. In fact, he says, consider it pure joy. The word that's used in the Greek can even mean be blissful when you go through trials and temptations. So he says when you endure, when you are approved. The interesting thing is, and I want to show you this, is when you go through that, you'll receive the crown of life. But he says there is a particular Greek word that is used here. It's called doikomos. And what that word was it is an actual term for a person. Let me step back a second. They didn't have banks or debit cards in the Bible times. Okay? They didn't have those little square things on top of the iPad when you go get your coffee. You know, you had to actually pay cash or coin. They didn't even have bills. They didn't have banking systems. And so what they would do is they would take precious metal and they would melt it down and they would pour it into a form. As it would cool and they would break it out of that form, it would have some kind of rough edges. Now, the metal that they used was kind of soft. So what they would do is they would take an edge and they would scrape around the coin to smooth off the edges. Now, there were some that when they did that, they scraped off just enough to make it not of its full value. In other words, biblical days, of counterfeit money, okay? So it wouldn't be the full weight. It would be just shy of that. Now, if you're making 100 to 1,000 coins and you're shaving off just a little bit more than supposed to be, that will total several more coins and you get some money on the side for that. That was not legal, okay? That made the money less than the value that it was. But there were those that would be honest and they would trim the little bit off the edge, but they would make sure that when they weighed it, it was the exact weight it was supposed to. And they had people that would go around and make sure. And when they did this, and when they found a person that was honest, had integrity, that you could trust his coin, they called him this doikomos. So, here's the deal. James is saying, we need to be those who, when they look at our faith, get the real thing and get the full amount. That's what he's saying there. Okay? So what James is telling us is that we live a life that is going to test us and give us trials and temptations. We need to let that refine us in a way that our faith is presumed and seen as genuine and right and honored. So when you go through some of the things, the outcome of the life should be honorable, respectful, and true. Okay? Now, when I was reading that and studying this, I was thinking of, remember Jesus said something like, you know, to him who has been given, more will be required. Things like remember Jesus telling the parable about the guys who had the coins, and he went away, and some invested the coins and some didn't. And he makes this statement. He says, to him who has, more will be given. So I think what Jesus is talking about, or James is talking about here, is this concept of as our faith is proofed, as we are proven genuine and real and true, God is going to trust us with more. Okay? He's going to allow more things in our lives that's going to give us opportunities to share the gospel, to, as Donna says, to share the love and the compassion with those around us. That's what he wants. So what the God is hoping, we talked about this last week. God is hoping that the trials and the tribulations and the things that we go through refine our faith so that the junk that's in there comes out so that the true love can flow through our lives. And that's the blissful, joyful side of tests and trials. Nobody likes tests or trials. Amen? I would rather have life be smooth. Amen? I don't want any problem. I want to get up, go through my day, and by the time I get to bed at night, I don't want to have any pressure, any responsibility, anything that I could blow. Because I can blow stuff pretty quickly. Okay, anybody else there with me in that? Now, some of you are not going to admit that. I understand. But it's just real easy sometimes to mess up, and I kind of like to get through a day, end of the day, without having anything that could get me to mess up. But the thing is, we don't live in that world. We live in a world that will push us, a world that will pressure us, a world to take a picture of a preacher that I know, it will squeeze our tubes. That world. So what comes out? When our tubes are squeezed, it lets us know what's in there. Amen? And so as we go through life, we get to find out what's in here. Now, there's something very interesting, and I want to stay here just a little bit. Please bear with me. I get confused. Relatively easy. But if you have different versions and you've followed me along with this, there is sometimes your Bibles, even in this passage, particularly in verse 12, some of your Bibles will say to endure a trial, to endure a test when you are tested. Sometimes it will say that. Some of your versions will say temptation. And it's almost like this word is confusing because is it test? Is it trial? Is it temptation? And, you know, when you have questions like that, I always go to the Greek. And here's an interesting thing. Those words come from the same Greek word. And I thought, well, first of all, how in the world do you figure out whether it's a trial or a temptation? Because they're not the same thing. Would you agree with me? And how you figure that out? How do you take this one Greek word and decide whether it's a trial or a tribute? And as I was praying and thinking about this, I think the Lord kind of showed me something that I've experienced in my own life. And as you experience, I'm sure you've experienced this too. As you go through something that pressures you, something that is testing your faith, something that is a trial that you're going through, How many of you know there's also within that the temptation to do something else? So I came to the realization that this word means this. It can be a trial, but it also has within the trial the possibility of being tempted. Remember what I was talking about at the beginning of this? How I would rather go through a day without having to deal with stuff? Anybody there with me? What do we have a tendency? Let's be honest. Do we have a tendency sometimes when stuff comes along to try to run from it or to cope from it or to not deal with it or to say it doesn't really exist? And do we try to do that? See, that's where it enters into the realm of temptation. With the trial always comes a temptation to not go through it and do it God's way, but to do it our way. The way that we're used to doing it. The easy way. The easy way out. I don't want to deal with that, so I'm just going to do this. Sometimes the trials we need to go through because they refine our faith and they help us grow. Amen? But at the same time, there's also the temptation to not do it God's way, but to do it our way. You know, there's a lot of different things we could talk about here, but our Wednesday night here, we have some pretty good discussions about what I preach, and we go into a little more depth, and we, in the last few weeks, have kind of been talking about this concept. Sometimes, and you've probably experienced this, and you can put your terms to this, sometimes we have something comes along that triggers something in us. You all understand what I'm saying. You know, something comes along that within us, we rise up and we want to be angry. Or, let me just use a silly illustration. It's not so silly, but somebody comes along and accuses us of something and we decide to lie to get out of it. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Or somebody comes along and says something and it triggers unforgiveness in us, or it triggers bitterness, or it triggers anger, or it triggers some way in which we want to protect ourselves. One author calls this programs of healthy emotions. I want to be healthy. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to deal with stuff, so I'm going to order and pattern my life so I can just put it all over here. I'm going to do whatever I have to do so I can just set it aside. I'm going to cope with it that way. How many of you know we go through life all the time with all of these coping mechanisms? Something comes along our way. We don't want to deal with it, so we turn and go another direction. When it's the thing that God wants us to walk through that will train us and refine us and help us be stronger in our faith. Many people, I'll say this boldly because I've experienced it in my life. I've walked this. Jeff sometimes has done this. It's real easy when something comes along to squeeze your tube, when something comes along to put pressure on you, when something comes along as a trial or a test, to be able to say, you know what, I'm just not going to deal with that. I'm going to go over here and I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. And so we do that and we go through life and we are very surface Christians. I have always said, I would rather, when I have to deal with stuff, deal with it up front. You know, Patty's shaking her head, yes, she knows. There are a lot of times I have stuff I have to deal with it. And I just go deal with it. Because I have learned if I put it off, it gets worse. It gets bigger. And it becomes more of an issue where I just go deal with it, take care of it, and it's done. It's over. But here's something that's happened. I have grown a little bit in my life in the way I handle things. Okay? If I run from it and I avoid it, or I have this coping mechanism that, if I say something that this is your coping mechanism, don't go and say, Pastor Jeff preached at me today. I'm just, stuff comes to my head and I say it. So that may be the spirit, and if it is, you have a thing with him, not me. All right? See, there are a lot of things we go through, and I've heard a lot of testimonies. When you have difficult times, a lot of people run and go drink. A lot of people go take drugs. A lot of people do these other things. And what that does is that doesn't let you deal with the difficulty that's in your life, the trial that's in your life. It fortifies that way I cope with things, and it becomes harder to quit. We spend a lot of time trying to quit stuff that we wouldn't be doing if we would just deal with what we got to deal with. Oh, preacher, you're meddling now. I know. Not a good day for Mother's Day to meddle, right? But James deals with this. And James says, look, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because if you're tempted, that's not from God. That's from within. If something you go through triggers anger or you cope with it a certain way, that's not from God. That's from you. Let's look at this. Down to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He does not tempt us. All right? Now, sometimes trials come. Does God make them happen? I personally believe God may allow some things, but I don't think God's micromanaging the junk around us to hurt us. But life makes us deal with stuff. Anybody say amen to that? We also have an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. James will talk about that later. He says, draw near to God and resist the enemy, and the enemy will flee. Okay, that's in chapter 4, verse 7. All right? So things come our way, wherever they come from. They come our way, and we have the opportunity to deal with it. If it triggers something in us, if it triggers a sin, to deal with that sin, to repent, to rethink, to pray, to draw near to God so that we can grow in our faith, so that our faith can be stronger. Or we can allow something from the inside that is ourselves tempt us. So with every trial comes a temptation. Let no one say, I'm tempted by God. God himself is not tempted. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You want to know what's in you? What are you tempted with? Because when you encounter something, that trigger causes a temptation in your life. And it identifies issues and things within. Because notice what it says here. It says you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death. So let me ask you a question. When does sin come in? Does sin come in with a temptation? No. Let me just ask a bold question. How many of you have ever been praying to God and this stupid thought comes in your head? And we stop praying and we run away from God and we say, oh God, I'm sorry, I can't believe I thought that. You know what God would say? Get back here! Because I just want you to know that that's in there so you and I can deal with it. The temptation is not the sin. You've heard me say, when thoughts cross our mind and walk through the lobby of our mind, let it just walk on through. The problem is when you let it check in and you fantasize and you scenario and you put yourself in that situation. That's when it is conceived. And when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, as it's fully grown, as it invades our life, it brings forth death. So when we're tempted, temptation is not the sin. Temptation should help us realize what's within us and what we need to deal with. Okay? Anybody want to grow up? Have you ever heard a preacher tell you that? Grow up? It's not, I'm just saying, you got stuff. We all got stuff in us that need to come out, and we need to deal with it. The only way we deal with it is when our tube squeezed and we realize it's in there, then we can deal with it. That's not sin. It's showing us the temptation and the trigger. Sin is conceived when we start entering into it and we start being a part of it and we start activating that. You see, I would much rather deal with the stuff in, you know, you've heard me quote this wonderful philosopher. I've quoted him several times. This quote has driven my life and it's helped me learn how to live for Jesus. And that philosopher made this statement that changed my life. Nip it in the bud. Most of you, if you don't know, that's Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show. And that's what he's taught. I mean, that's the concept. If you don't want something to grow, nip it in the bud before it becomes full grown. If we don't want these kind of strongholds and these sins and things in our life, we have to nip it in the bud. And it's in the bud when we go through a struggle, we go through a trial, and it comes up, and we see it, we deal with it, and then we can go to God with it, and we can confess it, ask His forgiveness, and help to get over it, and then move on. Amen? That's growing up. See, I gotten away from my notes, and that's a problem. But, see, what we have a lot of people, all they want to do is get saved so they go to heaven. Or as a pastor or friend tells me this, it's not they want to get saved so they can go to heaven, it's they want to get saved so they don't go to hell. And that's the extent and fullness of our Christianity. But the reality is, Jesus puts His Spirit within us so we can grow up, so we can be like Jesus. So, you know, Donna, as you said, we need to talk about love and sharing compassion so we can be that to the world. Because if we're not, we're just going to be angry, hateful, unforgiving, and judgmental people. Because that's what's in us. When it comes up, we got to deal with it and grow and become something different. We've got to become more like Jesus. Why? Because don't be deceived. Look, I love this. Look at verse 16. Don't be deceived, my beloved. For every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own, He has brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. He is good. And He does this. He doesn't. What that passage is saying, He doesn't do this work in us because we so special. He does this work because this is His plan. Why? Because He wants us to become first fruits. He wants the world to see and partake of a life that is dedicated and given to Him. Not a surface Christian that is tossed around by every wind and wave of doctrine. But people who come to Him for help. Let me tell you, coming to Him for help is not a sign of weakness. It's evidence of our weakness, but it's a sign of strength. You know, there's a passage in the Psalms that I quote almost every day in my time of prayer. Oh Lord, come to our assistance. Make speed to save us. Oh Lord, make haste to help us. That's my prayer. That's my cry. God, come to my assistance. James tells us, everything that You give us is good. And you don't have any variability or shadow of turning. You have good gifts that You give us. You come from the Father of lights, and there's no shadow in it. Lord, come help me. Lord, I'm in this difficult situation I'm going through. And the temptation is to do this, but I know that's not what You want me to do. Let me show you another scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm about done. So I'll let you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 13. I don't like to take things out of context, but he's talking about in the Old Testament how they didn't follow after God, but followed the false idols, and they got themselves into trouble by doing stuff they shouldn't have done, and kind of like we do. He says, verse 11, now these are examples that happened to them, so that, and they were written for our admonition. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Oh, Jeff, I've got this together. No problem. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to men. How many of you ever think you've been tempted by something novel? Nobody ever's been tempted by anything like this. Every temptation is common to an individual, humanity. All right? Can I say this? You don't shock God. You know, I kind of envision this. You know, you're praying, you say, you know, Lord, you probably never heard of this before, but, you know, and then you're telling him like he doesn't know your heart. But I've got this thing, this thought that keeps coming. I don't think you've ever, and Lord, I know you just want to knock me off the face of the world for it, but Lord, I just, this thought keeps coming back, and I just keep thinking about it. You know what the Lord would say? First of all, I've heard this before. Not from you, but everybody else. This is same. And here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. When you think it next time, don't dwell on it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. My voice isn't high enough, but you know what I mean. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, amen, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Okay? Now, we take that verse and we say, there will never come anything along that we can't handle because God won't let it. We're not talking about this trial thing, this test. We all go through difficult things that we have to rely on Him if we're going to make it. Amen? But the temptation, He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. But with the temptation, I love this, but with the temptation, we'll make a way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. Now, I'm going to illustrate this. You're coming along, you're walking along, and you're trying to get more to Jesus. And as you try to get more to Jesus, you have these things that keep battling and coming against you. Boom, boom, boom. And you're, Lord, I want to come to you, and I want, but I really want to do this. So, you know, what's the way of escape? We think the way of escape is somewhere else. We're looking around for the way of escape. Can I tell you that's probably the temptation? What's the way of escape? To go through and press on to that which you have been called to. Don't give up. Don't turn aside. When difficulties come, keep focusing on the Father and walk to Him. Don't turn aside. Walk toward Him. Call to Him. Ask for His help. Get His guidance. The way of escape is through that which you're dealing on to Him. Amen? You see that? We want to run from it. We want to turn from it. And because of that, we end up being surface Christians. We can't. I started this and I didn't finish it. I'll finish it now. I would rather go through the little things and learn from that that come my way so that I can be stronger, that when the more difficult things come, I can handle them and be stronger in them so that I can learn and I can grow. And then when the more difficult things come, I can, you see what I'm saying? I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus wants me to be no matter what comes my way. And to do that, I have to go and make the difficult decisions, the hard. I have to trust Him. I have to come to Him. I have to turn away from that which makes everything easier and tempts me to sin and tempts me. And I have to press on and press through. That's the way of escape. Amen. James says, you're going to live in a world that is not conducive to your faith. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But fear not, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. But He said, in the midst of those, there are going to be temptations to avoid these things, to turn from them, and you're not going to grow in your faith. I want to spend my life growing in my faith, not running from the difficulties that strengthen me. Amen? I'm going to read you a chapter from the preface of a book. It's called Trusting God in the Present. I just bought it this week and got it, and it's a book about going through a society with difficult things happening around you. Think I need to read this? This is the preface. I can't imagine what he's going to get into back in here. Talking about mercy and forgiveness for sure. It is not easy to live in this time of uncertainty and instability.